Nearly a third of New York City households report having cockroaches in their home. And if you have them, you know that getting rid of them is no simple matter. On this week's Please Explain, we will put out the feelers on cockroaches. Eric Benson is an urban entomology specialist and a professor at Clemson University. He joins us by phone from South Carolina. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm fine. We are also joined in studio by Richard Cooper of Cooper Pest Solutions. Welcome back, Richard.
It's good to be back.
And as always, we welcome your phone calls with questions about cockroaches at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Let's begin with you, Eric. How long have cockroaches been on the planet?
Oh, you can find fossil cockroaches dating back 125 million years ago. So they've been around a long, long time.
And is there any reason why they have been able to survive when practically nothing else around that time has?
Well, I think cockroaches basically figured out the way to play the game of life. And whereas they're, to a large extent, a very simple insect, they're very adaptable. And so as environmental conditions have changed over the eons, cockroaches have been able to adapt with all those changes.
Around how many species of cockroach exist today?
There's over 3,500 described species. That means someone went out, collected them, and gave them a scientific name. And it's estimated that there may be a total of 500 species scurrying about the planet. So there's lots of them.
Richard, are most species of cockroaches what we would consider household pests?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, most people, they think of cockroaches and they think of disgusting creatures. And, you know, as Eric mentioned, there are thousands of species, but probably only about 10 or so different species that are really significant pests of humans.
Is it likely that if you live in New York City, you have at least some degree of cockroach infestation?
These days it's a lot better than it used to be. You know, some of the old inner cities are plagued by what people call water bugs, the American cockroach, the Oriental cockroach. Used to be the German cockroach was the big one, but we've done quite a good job in the last 10 or 15 years in dealing with that insect.
So they're pretty much gone from New York City?
Well, they're on their way back. I think, as Eric will attest, you can always kind of count on the cockroach to find ways to evolve with all of the challenges we throw at them.
Well, Eric, since we're talking about evolving, how much have they changed over those millions and millions of years?
Well, really, not much. I mean, if you saw a cockroach preserved, say, in amber from 200 million years ago, you would be able to identify it as a cockroach. It's amazing to me how little, at least their external morphology, has changed. And again, internally, they're very adaptable. They have amazing ways to repair damaged DNA, to become resistant to pesticides, so on and so forth. So they're adaptable.
I understand that they even will survive radiation.
Yes, you know, everyone...
Didn't you irradiate cockroaches when you were an entomology student?
Yeah, when I was doing my master's degree at Fairleigh Dickinson, my advisor was having cockroaches x-rayed. And I don't remember the details, but I think he was having them x-rayed at five times the lethal dose. And these were German cockroaches, by the way. And then we would rear them, and then subsequent generations, we would irradiate them again. And there was essentially no change to the cockroaches, except we got a slightly darker morph. And there have been studies in the past where different insects, the cell lines, have been irradiated at many times a lethal dose that would kill any mammal slash human. And arthropod or insect DNA is quite resistant to mutation.
So they just heal themselves?
Yes, basically. I mean, the secret of life is really wrapped up in the cockroach.
Richard, what kinds of environments do cockroaches thrive in? Is New York City a particularly good environment, or would they do better down in South Carolina, where Eric is?
Well, I guess that really depends on the kind of cockroach. You know, the pest cockroaches that we deal with are pretty much dependent upon man. You don't find them too abundantly in nature, at least not up here in the Northeast. Once you get down further south, then we start to deal with other larger species that are more prevalent and are, in fact, you know, part of nature and invading species as well.
They depend on man because they eat our food?
Yeah, particularly something like the German cockroach is essentially dependent upon man and is not found in the natural environment.
They love water. How long can they live without food and water?
Well, I think, you know, water is you know, one of the most essential components of life, and they can survive less time without water than with anything else. So, like, for example, a German cockroach could go probably a good 20-plus days without food, but probably not more than 7 to 10 days without water.
Mm, that's why we often find them near water pipes?
Yeah, and especially something like the German cockroach is typically going to find its refuge in very close proximity to water.
Do you think that curbside trash storage exacerbates cockroach infestation in New York City?
Well, certainly for the larger cockroach species like the American cockroach or the Oriental cockroach, that's a factor.
Now, you keep on, you're talking about German, Oriental, American. Eric, did they develop all over the world or have they traveled all over the world?
Pretty much both, Leonard. Probably the source of origin for most species are from the tropics, but they are pretty much spread throughout the world, and we have transported them. As soon as we started walking across the land or getting in ships and sailing to new continents, we were bringing the cockroaches with us, and the ones that are the most serious pests are the ones that are most adaptable for hitchhiking with man.
And I've seen some of them with wings. Do they fly?
Sure. Yeah, some species can fly. A lot of people think they can't, and again, because their encounters with cockroaches are limited to just the handful of the pest species. But come down to South Carolina on a warm July night, and you'll see flying cockroaches.
I've seen large ones in Florida. Do the large ones survive better in the South?
Not necessarily, but the outdoor species tend to be some of the larger species, as Richard pointed out. The ones that are the bane for people throughout the world include the German cockroaches and some other ones that pretty much stay indoors, especially in colder climates, such as New York City. But we have a lot of what we call paradomestic cockroaches, which include the American cockroach, which you have there, and the smoky brown cockroach, which is very common. And they tend to live outside people's houses and move in, especially this time of year when it does cool down a bit.
My guests are Eric Benson, urban entomology specialist, professor at Clemson University, and also Richard Cooper of Cooper Pest Solutions. And he is one of the authors of a book called Bedbug Handbook, The Complete Guide to Bedbugs and Their Control. That brought him to our show earlier to talk about another unpleasant factor of city life, bedbugs. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Are cockroaches more active at night?
Yes, most species anyway are
because
you know,
you turn on the light at night if you have cockroaches, and suddenly they're scurrying all over the place.
Right, their activity patterns are geared towards the evening hours. They're nocturnal.
They're insect order names. Well, it depends on the source, but Blattodia or a Blattaria, but Blatta is the Greek for shuns light. So most cockroaches do shun light and are active in the evening.
And why is that?
Well, it's
are their eyes affected by light?
No. It's not that, though. Certainly, if they sense bright light, they'll want to get away from it. Insects have different ways for surviving. Cockroaches aren't particularly cryptic or hidden. The way that they avoid predation or the bottom of your shoe is to be hidden away during the daytime when you can see better and you're out, and stay in cracks and crevices. And then in the evening when most predators are resting, they're out feasting.
Richard, hasn't the presence of cockroaches in a home been linked to an increase, or has it been linked to an increase in illness? Do they carry disease?
Well, as far as disease goes, cockroaches wouldn't really be considered a direct disease vector. They can mechanically transmit diseases. I think the biggest area where there's a focus on cockroaches in terms of medically important pests is their association with asthma, particularly in children in inner cities. And that is quite significant.
And what happens there? That's because of the droppings? They affect the lungs of children?
Right. It's not just the droppings. There are proteins, in the cuticle, the exoskeletons of all insects. And as you know, insects shed their skins. They molt. So in the cast skins and the fecal material and the carcasses, a lot of these proteins are allergen-causing and can cause quite a significant problem for young children.
And we see that in poor neighborhoods because the homes of the poor are more likely to have cockroaches?
Well, it's typically associated with large infestations. And so, unfortunately, in the inner city, sometimes in impoverished areas, people can't necessarily afford the types of pest control to reduce those numbers. And when we get these large populations, which then results in the increase in asthma.
Now, Eric, a small infestation can suddenly seem endemic. Are cockroaches capable of reproducing very quickly?
It depends on the species, but the German cockroach can reproduce quite quickly and have many generations in a year. Some of the larger cockroaches, like the American cockroach, are slower in their reproductive capabilities. So it's usually with the small ones that you see get at such high levels. And I think, though American and Oriental cockroaches have been implicated in the asthma problems, it's often the German cockroach that's the main culprit because they can get in such high numbers in structures.
We will be taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Let's take one of those calls. Mike from Newark. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Could you please discuss the name? How did we come to call them cockroaches?
Richard, you're shaking your head. Do you know, Eric?
Well, I don't know the exact origin, and it depends on the language. I mean, the Spanish call them cucaracha, and you can go back 500-600 years and find that. I mean, we've changed it to cockroach. The French call them cafard and other things, and a lot of things that what people call them are unrepeatable.
Mm-hmm.
But blat, I think is the origin again, which goes back to the Greek, which is shuns light. I know the Romans called them lucifuga, I believe, which was Latin for fleeing light. So creatures that flee light. You know, my favorite cockroach, the one I did my dissertation on, is Paraplanita fuliginosa, which is related to the American cockroach. And Paraplanita fuliginosa is the smoky brown cockroach, and it literally means wandering smoke. So Paraplanita wandering, fuliginosa smoke. And
why is that? Do they wander like smoke?
Well, cockroaches do wander around, especially the males. And I guess, you know, when people were describing or giving scientific names to animals, especially when they first started with Linnaeus 200 plus years ago, they would try to give them descriptive names, though the descriptive names often had their origins in either Greek or Latin.
Do cockroaches have any evolutionary cousins in the insect world?
Oh, absolutely. They're closely related to the termites and closely related to the mantids. They used to be lumped together with the grasshoppers, the crickets, and the mantids. And depending on which day it is in the academic world, they move these creatures around. But it's fascinating to me that cockroaches, there are species of cockroaches which are what we call pre-social, and they will function in little colonies that are not that dissimilar from what termites do. Now, termites are truly social insects. Cockroaches are not.
Termites are closer to ants?
No, termites are closer to cockroaches.
No, but I mean in the way that they their colonies are structured.
Yes, yes, good point. Yeah, truly social insects, including the ants, the termites, and many bees and certain wasps. But down here, for example, up in the mountains, we have a group of cockroaches. Cryptocercus is the genus name. And they live in families. And if you go into the forest and look for downed hardwood trees and you peck at them, you can often find these cockroach families, which will include the male, the female, and their offspring that will stay with mom and dad sometimes for several years, following them around the log.
So, Richard, if there are cockroaches in an apartment, is it likely that they'll be all be part of the same community?
Yeah, I mean, they're not social in that kind of a setting, but they certainly are gregarious. So you find cockroaches in aggregations. And there's actually a pheromone called aggregation pheromone. It's found in their fecal material, so that kind of keeps them close together. And that aggregation pheromone works more strongly on the younger instars than it does some of the older instars.
But they know there's another cockroach nearby because of this smell, the pheromone.
And in fact, there's been a lot of research done where if you put cockroaches in isolation, just a single cockroach, say in a petri dish, and you run experiments, it has significant effects on the physiology versus if you run the same experiments with cockroaches in groups. It's called a group effect. So much like humans, isolation has a very negative impact on the living organism.
We're going to sneak one more call in before we go to a break. Danielle from Queens. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. You have cockroaches?
I'm wondering, I'm not a big fan of any kind of pests, but people always seem to be able to defend them like they have some kind of positive effect on our ecosystem, and I'm wondering if there's anything to say in the defense of cockroaches.
Eric?
I would say absolutely, again, with 3,500 species out there and possibly up to 5,000, cockroaches are very important in the natural environment as far as food for other animals, as far as recyclers in the forests. It's just the handful that Richard mentioned at the beginning of the show, the 10, 12 or so that are pests that give us such a bad view of cockroaches. But they're important in the natural world as part of nature. And again, their ability to adapt to adverse conditions makes them great candidates to study physiology, DNA repair mechanisms, and so on and so forth. And in fact, a lot of what we've learned about insecticide resistance and how it develops has been learned from studying cockroaches.
And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about insecticides and how to get rid of cockroaches when we return from a little break. Thank you so much for calling us, Danielle. And a reminder that my guests are Professor Eric Benson of Clemson University and Richard Cooper of Cooper Pest Solutions. We're talking about cockroaches on today's Please Explain. We'll be back with your calls at 212-433-9692. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WMYC.org. But first this. We're back with Richard Cooper of Cooper Pest Solutions and Eric Benson, a professor at Clemson University. We're talking about cockroaches on today's Please Explain and taking your calls at 212-433-9692. People have also left some questions on our show page, and I want to address one of them first, Frank from Brooklyn. He wonders, for each roach that you see, how many more are there that you can't see? Is there a common ratio?
Yeah, that's a commonly asked question, and I'll be honest, I'll defer to Eric because I don't know that we can make a real good estimate of that. Eric, do you have an input on that?
I agree with you, Richard. It's really hard to do that. People ask that all the time. The general rule of thumb that I often hear is 1 to 10. I can tell you that we once had a structure. I worked in Europe for a while, and we had a room where we reared cockroaches, and we had so many escapees over time, we felt like we had to treat it. And the way we treated it was with high heat because it was a very small room and enclosed. But before we did that, I put out sticky traps, Richard, and I don't remember the exact ratios, but I got my roaches in my sticky traps, and then we heated the room up, and I had at least 10 times the number that I had in my sticky trap. But take that for what it is. It's more anecdotal than scientific. So, but, you know, there's, for everyone that you see, there's probably quite a few out there because, again, cockroaches don't like to be out in the open. They want to be hidden by and large. So if you're seeing them, there must be a critical number for them to become apparent.
And another person wonders if you step on a roach, squash a cockroach, he hears that if the roach happens to be carrying eggs, that the eggs will splatter and that they will wind up becoming roaches anyway.
No, that wouldn't be accurate. The egg capsule, well, and there's all different types of reproduction in roaches, which is one of the things that makes them so fascinating. I mean, talk about all the different species. There are some roaches that give actual live birth. Then there are other roaches that retain an egg case within their abdominal cavity. Then there are roaches that extrude egg cases and carry them, and then those that deposit egg cases. But when you're talking about the pest species that we deal with, if that egg case gets crushed, it's going to be destroyed.
What about what somebody else suggests, that you can cut up the head of a roach and it'll still survive? Not true?
No, it won't survive, but the brain, the head of the cockroach, has its separate innervation than the body of the cockroach. So if you cut the head off, you can do gross parlor tricks like put the head on a pin, and if you put food in front of the mouth parts for a while will still move. And then there was a study back in 1972 where cockroaches were shocked, and they learned to pick their legs up. And it wasn't to hurt the cockroaches, it was to show that they could learn. But even after you cut their heads off, for a while, the body of the cockroach would still pick its legs up because it had learned to avoid the shock. But that's because their innervation is different. They're not alive at that point. Their nerves are still functioning for a time afterward.
Let's take a call from Elliot from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I live on the Upper East Side in a very, very old building. And for years and years we had roaches. And suddenly a building was torn down nearby for a new luxury building. We had infestation of mice. And I noticed suddenly the cockroaches disappeared. Are they predators after mice, or exactly what happened in that situation?
Well, certainly mice will feed extensively on cockroaches, but you know, in most of these situations, that's just a portion of the food supply. So to think that mice are the reason that roaches are eliminated from an environment is unlikely. So there's other factors that were involved. And it also, again, depends on the type of roaches that you're seeing. If they're the very large roaches, the American roach that people often refer to as water bugs, or the smaller cockroaches, the German cockroach.
Thank you.
Okay, so it isn't really mice. And I wasn't looking forward to having to have mice come in to take care of a roach problem.
But they will eat their share of roaches.
Sharon from the Bronx, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to know what actually gets rid of the roaches. I've tried the fogger, I've tried the chats, I've tried the spray. The only thing I haven't tried is the stuff you plug in the outlets. Does that work?
As far as roach control, I think the one thing maybe to urge most listeners not to do is the fogs, you know, or these things that people call bug bombs, total release aerosols. These are not effective means of dealing with cockroaches. And then sometimes it can actually spread problems. And the most effective ways really to go after cockroaches are with baits. But
I thought with a shoe.
Well, that too, but not for eradicating populations. That's great for the roach you see, though. But as far as the baits
You mean roach motels?
No, these are some of the containerized baits, bait stations. There are also powder baits and gel baits. You know, typically a consumer is going to get so far with these materials that they're effective. Professionals are, you know, better trained in exactly where to put them, because that really is the key. If you don't get the materials to all of the right places, because you have to compete with the existing food sources that are just there in your home. But if you get these materials into the right places, you can achieve very high levels of control very quickly.
Now, Eric, what about all of those sprays that we see at the supermarket? They seem to be effective for a time, and then they seem to lose their effectiveness.
They don't necessarily lose their effectiveness. I mean, if it will kill the cockroach, it'll kill the cockroach. But Richard's making a really good point. It's not so much what you use, it's how you use it and the knowledge to use it properly to put it in the right spots where the cockroaches are likely to come in contact. I mean, insecticides will eventually break down in the environment depending on the product and where it is, so they don't last forever. But properly placed sprays, dusts, and baits can go a long way. And just one quick thing on Sharon's comment. As far as I know, in the research that I've read, unfortunately, those plug-in devices do not work. I've never seen any credible research that shows that they work. You can go online and you can hear testimonials and anecdotal stories, but as far as solid research behind them with controls and proper replication, they have not been found to work.
Well, they attract mice, so doesn't that help? Oh, that's likely.
There is one other thing I think that's extremely important to mention, and that is the role of sanitation. Not to say that people are keeping a dirty home, but you have to realize that cockroaches can, you know, it doesn't take a lot of food to feed a cockroach. The role of sanitation is critical in terms of keeping garbage cans closed, removing spilled foods, food that gets underneath ovens, behind refrigerators, and that type of thing. And the other thing is clutter, because when you introduce clutter, if there's a lot of clutter in a kitchen or a bathroom or an environment where you have cockroaches, that just expands exponentially the environment that they have to grow their population. So clutter reduction and good sanitation puts a lot of pressure on the cockroach. And when you have pressure on a cockroach, it's less fit and more susceptible to other control measures.
Dry out the sink, make sure there are no drips, no leaks.
Right, just trying to, but it's going to be harder to remove water than it is to remove food.
Let's take another call. Nancy from Yonkers, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a solution for roaches. I've used boric acid powder, which is really inexpensive. You just put it in the corners of your cabinets, maybe behind your stove and refrigerator, and I haven't seen one in years. And I've used, and anyone who's done that has the same results. And I'm wondering why nobody ever mentions that.
No, boric acid's a fine product, and it. I know that we mention it in some of the fact sheets that we produce on cockroach control as one part of a strategy.
But what I'm saying is I have seen none for years, and nobody believes that.
Well, can't you just buy borax?
It's so simple. You buy it in the hardware store. It's a big plastic bottle. It's really inexpensive, and it's boric acid powder.
Mm-hmm. Isn't borax boric acid powder?
Yeah, I mean, well, we're talking about borates in general, and there are a lot of boric acid products that are available both to the consumer and widely used professionally. And she's accurate that boric acid is a very effective material, but I don't think it's quite as simple. In her case, she may not have had a problem since she's put it out, but having it play a role in a program is fine, but I don't think I would want to rely exclusively in it in all situations.
What does it do? I heard it burns off their legs.
Not quite, but something like that. It's got a kind of a mysterious mode of action, and Eric might want to comment on this a bit too, but it's essentially classified as a stomach poison, mm-hmm. which is what you classify something when you can't really specify its exact mode of action.
Yeah, even the manufacturers don't completely understand the mode of action, though it does, I know it, one extent, it does destroy the microfauna inside cockroaches. Cockroaches, kind of like termites, have single-cell animals and bacteria and such that aid in their digestion, and the boric acid, when it's ingested, will basically kill out all those microorganisms, and then the cockroaches have a harder time feeding, but it will also pass through the gut of the cockroach, too, and kill them from the inside out, but it doesn't melt their insides and it doesn't burn their legs off.
Does it have any effect on your household pets, your cat or your dog?
Well, no. And Richard can probably talk better about this, but when you use any insecticide, whether it's just good old boric acid or a spray or a bait, you should be applying these things in areas where your dog, your cats, your children are not going to be able to get to it. And that's why a professional, and many times will do the crack and crevice sprays, the careful placement, the treatments, and not walk in, you know, with a fogger in the typical apartment or home.
Right. And one of the things, something like boric acid and a lot of these pesticides, they work at the individual level. In other words, the individual has to come in contact with it, get a lethal exposure to die. But with some of these bait materials, most of the bait materials, there's actually what's called a horizontal transfer, in which bait that one cockroach has fed on can affect multiple other roaches back in the aggregation.
Matt from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm also a Clemson grad, so it's good to hear him.
Hey, Matt.
Just wondering, I have a small child and I'm worried about the asthma, and I'm also worried about the toxicity of the chemical applications, and I don't want to bring the exterminator in, so I'm just wondering if there's other non-toxic ways, and is the boric acid really bad, and if there's anything else they can suggest.
Matt, I'm not an expert on asthma and related to boric acid. I think boric acid applied in wall voids would not have a chance of volatilizing and causing respiratory problems. And Richard mentioned earlier the gel baits or the baits in general could be a very good way for you to go to control the cockroaches and yet not have volatile chemicals, because they're not volatile, and the amount of insecticide is at a very low level, and again should be placed in places where your child should not be coming in contact with it or inhaling any fumes, if you will, from the bait. So I think baits might be a good option for you.
We have very little time. Andrew in Brooklyn left a question on our show page. What sort of evidence can I look for to ensure that a potential apartment is not infested or has little infestation?
Well, if it's Joe's apartment, don't move in. Well, Richard is, again, can probably talk about that, but you know, you look, if you're looking at a place to rent or buy, I do this. It's kind of like you do with bed bugs, Richard, when you're going to a hotel these days. But I look under the sink, be in the bathroom, and I look for characteristic oral and anal secretions that they produce that a lot of people might not know what they are, but also body parts or just signs of basically cleanliness. But the cockroaches like the hidden places, and under a sink or behind a toilet are good places to take a peek if you're thinking of renting it and hoping that you don't have cockroaches there.
You have anything you want to add, Richard?
Sure. Right along the same lines as what Eric is saying, you're looking for carcasses and skins and things like that, but you're looking for sort of like a speckling of almost like a pepper-like material that's been attached to substrates. If you look underneath a sink, the drawer, the cabinet next to the refrigerator, cabinet next to the oven, and you look towards the front two corners, if there's been a problem there, it's unlikely that that's been removed unless they physically replaced the cabinets.
Now, in the green market, they sell Osage oranges, and they say they repel cockroaches. Do they?
I don't know that specifically. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of citrus compounds are naturally repellent to a wide variety of insects, but I can't answer that specifically.
Well, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. We'll never find out about the citrus solution. But my thanks to Richard Cooper of Cooper Pest Solutions for talking with us, and to Eric Benson, an urban entomology specialist professor at Clemson University. We've been talking about cockroaches on today's Please Explain, and we want to thank all of you who have called in, and my apologies to all of you who we couldn't get on the air.